The Couple Next Door, written by Peg Lynch and starring Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce.
Pour another cup of coffee for Barbara, will you, while I see who's at the door? Hello.
Mrs. Piper?
Yes?
I don't suppose Mr. Piper happens to be home.
Why, no, he's not. He's still at his office.
Well, I didn't actually expect to find him home, but this is the only address I had, and just from the off chance I came directly here from the airport.
Well, he's still at the office. I can give you that address.
Thank you. I would like to see him today, if possible. My name is Fraser. I represent McLaren Publications, and I was asked to get an interview with Mr. Piper.
You represent what?
McLaren Publications, New York. We're very much interested in the story we bought from your husband, his experience in almost capturing an abominable snowman.
Oh, yes. Well,
with the country of Tibet very much in the news these past few weeks and the revived interest in the abominable snowman legend, the editor has asked me to get a personal interview.
Yes. Well,
I wrote Mr. Piper a brief note saying I'd be in town this week, and he answered saying he'd expect me. So I think it'll be all right if I just drop in at his office. So if I can have the address...
Cranshaw & Company, third floor, First National Bank building.
Oh, thank you very much. I hope I didn't bother you.
No, I didn't.
Well, goodbye. Thank you again.
Driver, take me downtown to the First National Bank building.
Aunt Effie! Oh, my goodness, what is it? You're sitting down. Your face is just white.
To you, young man at the wheel. If you protect your car when other youngsters are smashing theirs and blaming it on luck, if you respect yourself and not those punksters and pass the safety test and not the buck, if you can hold the normal pace, not faster, if you can think and not make thrills your aim, if you can keep control and be your master and not make life a childish chicken game, if you have guts to show your highway virtue and be a sport and keep the human touch, if you resolve no reckless dope will hurt you, if you depend on skill, but not too much, if you can fill each pleasant motor minute with careful kicks wherever you may go, your car will be your pal when you are in it. And what is more, young man, you'll be a pro.
Now, dear, calm down. I can't even understand you.
This man, Fraser or something, was at the door, represents McLaren Publications.
Oh, my heavens.
Well, I don't like to butt in on something that may be none of my business, but what in the world are you both in such a tizzy about?
Oh, Barbara. Aunt Effie and I did something just awful.
Well, it isn't so awful. And at the time, we thought it was very funny.
Well, it isn't funny now.
What did you both do?
Oh, Aunt Effie and I were entering all sorts of contests, hoping I'd win some money toward my trip to Europe this summer. One of them was a short story contest, the greatest adventure of my life, you know, for one of these pulp magazines.
Now, listen, dear, instead of explaining all that now, you'd better get on the phone and call his office.
Yes.
Explain before the man gets there.
Yes, you tell Barbara. Oh, it's all so awful.
Well, it's very simple.
Honestly, with that, Mr. Fraser said, we're interested in the story Mr. Piper wrote about almost capturing an abominable snowman. Really, I must say
I can't make head nor tail of all this. You mean he didn't write such a story?
No, we did. He wrote a very simple story about taking a 3-day hike in the woods when he was 14, and he met a bear.
A what?
A bear. A small bear. And he was scared. And it was a nice enough little story, but it wasn't, well, exciting enough. Even he didn't think it was right for that magazine. So, when we went to work that day, we sat down and sort of, well, doctored it up.
Yes, Mr. Piper, please.
We had him climbing the Himalaya mountains, blizzards and avalanches and all that, and coming face to face with an abominable snowman.
Oh, no. Why, that's ridiculous.
Well, of course, but we were just having fun. We never thought anything would come of it, but they bought it for $200. And he thinks it's his story that they bought.
You mean you never told him?
We didn't dare. When we started to tell him, we made a few changes. He was just furious that we tampered with his writing.
But I expected that. Oh. Yes, well, have him call home at once, then, if you will. Thank you. He's not in his office.
Honestly.
What you should have done was explain the whole thing to that Mr. Fraser.
Yes, yes, I guess so, but I couldn't even think. I was so flabbergasted.
Oh, really? I can't get over it. How could you two even know what an abominable snowman looked like?
Oh, well, we made it up. Uh-huh. He was covered with fur. Uh-huh. We even had him flying, didn't we? Wing-like arms, I think we said. Oh, we just thought we were so funny.
Well, I can tell you one thing. There's going to be two men who aren't going to think it's funny at all.
Well, come in. Sit down, Mr. Fraser. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. I've been out of the office all afternoon.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Piper. I didn't mind waiting at all as long as I could get my interview today. My schedule got a little bollocks up, so I would like to catch the late plane out this evening.
Well, I'm at your service. just a minute. I'll cut off my calls here. Oh, Miss Perkins, if I get any calls, just take a message. Say I'm in conference. My wife. Oh, well, I'll call her later. It can't be that important. Okay. Now then, what can I do for you, Mr. Fraser?
Well, first of all, I want to say that the editor, Mr. Fitzgerald, was fascinated with the story you submitted to our adventure magazine.
Oh, well, I was fascinated with the $200 check. Yes. I used to do some writing back in college, and for years I wanted to try my hand at it again. So, needless to say, I was very pleased that this was accepted.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't mind if I take this interview down in a portable tape recorder, do you? With your permission, we may use it in the True Adventure series we have at a local station back there.
Oh, well, no, no, not at all, not at all. I'm very flattered. Must say I'm a little surprised at all this interest in my, well, rather simple story.
Oh, no, you're a very modest man, Mr. Piper. Well, I guess we're all set. Now, don't let this little microphone confuse you. Just pretend it's not there. Just speak naturally.
Oh, yes, sure. What would you like to know?
Well, now, first of all, your encounter with this animal, I guess that's what one would say it is, hmm?
Well, yes, I'd certainly say a bear was an animal.
It looked like a bear?
Yes.
That's very interesting. It looked like a bear.
Well, yes, I certainly think I know a bear when I see one.
Of course, of course. But let's not forget that from other adventurous men who have had these experiences, there have been some conflicting reports. For example, in this very section of the mountains that you wrote about, when footprints have been seen in the snow, eyewitness accounts have said those footprints appear to resemble more those of a large monkey.
Oh, is that so? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know anything about that. No, I didn't see any footprints.
No footprints?
Oh, no, no, because I was there in the summertime.
I see. Well, I guess I just imagine that when you get up that high, the weather's pretty much the same all the year round. Could you see Mount Everest from where you were?
See Mount Everest? From Colorado?
Colorado? Weren't you in the Himalayas?
The Himalayas? No.
You were in Colorado?
Yes.
This experience of yours happened in Colorado?
Yes, and look here,
This is fantastic, absolutely fantastic. You see, I actually never read your story. The editor just told me about it, and I naturally assumed you were in the Himalayas.
Oh, no, I was in Colorado. I was 14 years old, and I happened to be visiting my aunt and uncle at the time. I just went off by myself for a 3-day hike.
Yes, yes, and as I understand it, you lay down to rest, you fell asleep, and suddenly you woke up, and there he was, not 6 feet away.
Well, yes, I was a bit taken aback, to say the least.
My Lord, man, I should think so. What did you do?
Well, I just didn't do anything for a minute. I just lay there sort of wondering what to do, you know. I didn't have any guns.
My gosh, and your very first impression. Well, what did you think it looked like?
Well, it looked like a bear, what I said before. Bear.
And I suppose it wasn't until he lifted his wings and flew off that you realized it was not a bear. My Lord, man, what a terrifying experience. Now, tell me.
Wait a minute. What do you mean? Lifted his wings.
Well, how did you describe it? Now, let me see my notes here. Oh, yes, yes. About 10 feet tall, covered with fur, and with wing-like arms.
Well, I'm
surprised you kept your sanity. Well, that's enough to drive a man crazy to see a bear suddenly lift his arms and fly off, isn't it?
Well, apparently just thinking about it's enough to drive a man crazy, because one of us is. Well, may I ask what in Sam Hill you're talking about, Mr. Fraser?
I'm talking about the story you submitted to our publication entitled I Nearly Captured an Abominable Snowman.
Really, Chet? An abominable snowman? Well, yeah,
It's a story you were paid $200 for, Mr. Piper.
Mr. Fraser, if you'll be good enough to get your hat, you and I are driving out to interview my wife.
We'll return to the couple next door in just a moment. Not too many years ago, if you got the notion that you'd like to carry your radio around with you, you probably would have had to pile it all aboard a wheelbarrow and push it on ahead of you. Radios weren't very portable then. But over the years, they have increased enormously in sensitivity and tonal fidelity and decreased dramatically in size. Today, no one's surprised to hear music and speech issuing from a pocket. Sounds brought there by a tiny transistor radio. Yes, today, just about anywhere you go, you can be sure of hearing the very finest in entertainment, the very latest in news. Over most of these stations, you can listen to top dramatic serials, comedy, variety, sports, music, plus up-to-the-minute news and commentary by noted CBS newsmen in this country and overseas. Take a pocketful of entertainment and information along wherever you go. Or if you're out driving, simply leave your car radio set at this spot on your dial. Remember, wherever you go, go with radio, CBS Radio. You'll find the going much more fun.
We tried to tell you about it, but you were so mad when I even started to tell you we'd made a few changes in your story.
A few? From taking a hike in the woods and meeting a bear to climbing the Himalayas and meeting an abominable snowman? That's making a few changes?
Well, we're only having fun. We never dreamt anything would come of it.
Mr. Page, I just don't know what to say.
Well, I don't think the story we wrote was any more fantastic than the rest of the junk you published in that magazine.
Epic. For the love of Mike, haven't you done it?
Well, it isn't. One of them was, I saw a live dinosaur. You can't tell me that wasn't made up, Mr. Fraser.
Well, naturally, we can't check completely on the veracity of all the stories submitted. We can only hope that the writers are,
Fraser, I am so embarrassed and so sorry.
Sorry, look at the position you put this poor man in.
Well, I don't matter. It's my editor. He's going to blow his stack. He just had an unfortunate experience with the white goddess who turned out to come from Brooklyn. And now when he hears he's been taken in by something else, and the magazine with your story in it has already gone to press.
Well, look, my gosh, I'll pay the money back anyhow.
No. Forget it. Just forget the whole thing. I won't even say I saw you. You said you were going abroad this summer, so I'll just say, Mr. Piper's on his way to Europe.
Oh, yes.
In fact, stay for dinner, Mr. Fraser. We have plenty.
Oh, yes.
Your plane doesn't go to 9 o'clock.
Yes, the least we can do is feed him.
Oh,
okay, look, you two are abominable snow women. Go on out there and get things on the table. Go on now.
Sorry.
Oh, boy.
Well, all I can say, Mr. Piper, you may not climb the Himalayas, but you certainly seem to live an interesting life.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let's say I live dangerously.
The Couple Next Door is written by Peg Lynch and stars Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce with Margaret Hamilton, Augusta Dabney, and Nelson Olmsted, and is produced by Walter Hart.
This was an original old radio broadcast, identified radio of yesteryear. Aloha, speak.